Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Justin Adams TV, at Eric Goodman. Mace is going to join us live from Cleveland at 5:15 to give us an update on the injury report, or should I say the inactives for the game. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Rocky Mountain Eurosport in Denver and Parker. You're now working with some big dealership that's selling volume. Rocky Mountain Eurosport, it is an intimate buying experience because you know what? Everyone deserves a luxury car buying experience, don't you think? Whether it's foreign, domestic, or a luxury ride, they've got inventory, unlike the big boys, to get you the right car at the right price. They also service all makes and models and have fantastic finance options. Go for a test drive today or find them at rmeurosport.com. How are you, Justin?
Man, I'm doing good, Eric. You called me last week and asked me to come on, and I was delighted. That's a word that people don't use a lot anymore, delighted. But
be honest. Come on. Be honest. Why are you delighted to be here for 2 hours with me?
I don't have to change diapers. That's
there
why.
So it really has nothing to do with me.
Right.
I might stink as a radio partner, but at least I don't stink literally.
Literally, yes. And I deal with a human being, a baby, my son, who stinks a lot of times because of that diaper.
Do you think you will remind him as he gets older that you changed his diaper?
Yes, 100%.
Right.
Literally. You do the same thing, don't you?
I don't. I kind of get at my kids in other ways.
Okay.
I don't say it that way. But, you know, when my daughter was much younger, she's 13 now. Now it's all about privacy. I get that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But when she was like 7, I'm like, Mia, come on. Harrison, come on.
Right.
I've seen you like this. It's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to change your diapers.
Right.
But now that my daughter's 13, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Way different, actually. All right. Time now for the lead.
The lead, presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk.
Okay. It is game day on a Thursday. Broncos against the Browns. And been reading a lot of national guys saying they believe the Browns are going to win.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of local guys believe the Browns are going to win. A banged-up Browns team. What does it say about the Broncos that they are going up against a team that is possibly going to be missing over half of its starters on offense?
It says that the Broncos aren't a good football team, number one. And really, that's the main thing that it says about this team. It says that the secondary, which is the most expensive secondary in the NFL, hasn't showed up. They give it up 17 plays of 20 yards or more down the field. They haven't showed up. They haven't did what they're supposed to do. So it tells
me. Was that a player thing or is that a coaching scheme? You played football.
No,
you played
at
CU.
It's both.
Okay. Mace does this all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say the same thing to you.
Mm-hmm.
It can't be a 50-50. You got to go 51-49.
Okay. Well, I will say this. At the end of the day, no matter what the coaches call, the players are on the field and they make things happen. So at some point, you have to ask yourself, do you actually have the talent to be able to make plays on the field, or is there a talent deficiency?
Okay. If you're going to go down that road, they don't have a talent deficiency. The only explanation is
coaching.
They have a mental deficiency.
Well, let's go back to that first catch last week against the Raiders. Justin Simmons is right there, and he took a wrong angle. And you look, and you're like, wait a minute, that should be an interception, a knockdown at the least. And
that's
it's a touchdown. How did that happen?
And that's exactly what I mean. We know these guys have talent.
Mm-hmm.
Fuller, played 2 snaps. Fuller, all pro. Justin Simmons, pro bowler. Kareem Jackson, he's a really good player. Surtain has tons of potential. And Darby's a good player. They're not lacking physical talent. The question is their head in the game?
You know, it's tough to say for a professional that their head is not in the game, but I will say this.
How many breakdowns have we seen?
Plenty.
Plenty. Those are mental breakdowns.
100%.
Those are not physical breakdowns.
Yeah, but there's one that I will say. Well, first of all, in the first drive, they have too many breakdowns. In the first drive, we could go back to Jacksonville, where there was a score on the first drive, and you wonder, like, how did that happen? Like, how did that happen against Jacksonville that you have a breakdown on the first drive, and they just go down to score? The Raiders last week, and it wasn't like, oh, the Raiders had to really scratch and claw, go 12, 14 plays. That was like a 6-7 play drive, went down the field, a 50-yard bomb, and they score.
It is my understanding there are some players on the defensive side that don't like the mush rush. They're not happy with the way the defense is being set up, which is kind of surprising for a Vic Fangio-led defense. There have been plenty of times over the course that I've covered the Broncos where players have not been happy with the way the defense has been set up and the offense has been set up. Plenty of times. And I get that feeling that's what's going on here.
You know, it's interesting, though, and this is one thing we don't talk about a lot. This is the third year of Vic Fangio's system, not just of Vic Fangio, the head coach, of his system as a defensive coordinator. At some point, you should know it so well going into your third year that even if they make a call that you don't like, you could adjust it as a defense to something that you look at and say, hey, this is going to work out better for us. Or you should be able to make an adjustment on the fly. And to see this team not being able to do that so far early on in this year is really baffling, to be very honest with you. I don't get it. I don't get what I'm seeing on the field, because everything tells me that this team should be getting interception after interception every week, and it's just not happening.
Which player has to have a great game tonight for the Broncos to win?
Ooh.
To me, there's only one.
Von Miller.
You got it.
Yeah, Von.
He opened his mouth.
Yep.
And I said this a couple of days ago, and I'll say the same thing to you, because you played football at a pretty good clip, pretty good level. You played at CU. What Von Miller said to me is like an all-state outside linebacker in high school mouthing off and saying, I'm going to kick the crap out of the JV offensive tackle who just got promoted to varsity. Bravo, Von.
Right.
Boy, you are really putting it out there, aren't you?
Right.
And you know what? If Von doesn't get a sack, and I'm guessing he's going to have more than a pretty good game. But if he does not have a good game, the Broncos should not even wheel him out to the podium anymore, because he has made comments like, this is the best offensive line I've ever played with. That's what he said earlier this year. When he said about Trevor Siemian, he has characteristics that remind me of Peyton Manning. It's time for Von to stop talking.
Right.
If he does not have a great game.
Yeah, and also the last time he made a proclamation like this, especially defensively, it was on a Thursday night game, but he also had Bradley Chubb on the other side too.
Oh, no, it was bigger than that. Yeah. I think both teams, you're talking about the Arizona Cardinals
game.
The Broncos won that game 45-10, and the Broncos were struggling, but the Cardinals
was struggling.
They weren't struggling. They were awful.
Yeah,
they were awful. Yeah. They were just an awful football team. And who was their starter at quarterback? I think it was like a second or a third string guy.
It was Josh Rosen.
No, it was not.
Yeah.
Was it?
It was Josh Rosen.
Well,
Rosen
then
was starting that game, because I remember.
Well, he's terrible too.
he is terrible.
Tell my old partner Les Shapiro, he thought he was going to be great. I said, Rosen's going to suck.
Yeah.
And he has.
Yeah. Did he get a ring, though, with a Tampa side note?
No, please.
He probably did. Whatever. But in any case, when you make a proclamation like this, it's time for you to show up, but it's also time for guys like Malik Reed to show up. Where has he been? I haven't heard from him at all.
Yeah, but you know what? But you know what? Even though Malik Reed had 8 sacks last year, with all due respect, Malik Reed is Malik Reed.
For sure.
No, the guys who need to show up are not Malik Reed.
Right, it's Von Miller.
No. Yes, Von Miller needs to show up. Shelby Harris needs to show up. And Justin Simmons needs to show up. Show me the money. You got the money. Now show me some play on the field.
You know, I can't think right now. I'm just thinking of the stats. Shelby Harris, how many sacks does he have this year?
I don't know if he has any.
Right. How many quarterback hits? How about just the impact he's made, right? Because I know last year, knocking down every pass, it seemed. He was pushing the middle of the pocket. I mean, he was a force.
Yep.
What happened?
Well, listen, you were a tight end in college, right? What they say about defensive linemen who knock down a lot of passes, it sounds great. But also, there's a knock on that guy, which is, well, you can't get to the quarterback, so that's really your only chance to make a play.
Exactly. But, I mean, you know, there's certain ways you could take care of somebody who wants to knock down passes as well. As soon as they jump up, you know, the pads only cover your chest. Doesn't cover your abs, though.
Right.
So you could just go on, you know, just a couple of tricks of the trade where you just touch up somebody's stomach muscles a little bit and they quickly bring those hands right back down.
By the way, you know the winning quarterback in that Broncos win over the Cardinals was?
Keenum. Case Keenum.
Yeah. He had a decent game, much better, not great.
Right.
But he had a better game than Josh Rosen.
Right. Oh,
that's
oh, yeah.
for sure.
Yes.
So with that, we both agree it is Von Miller. What is the narrative going to be if the Broncos win?
Wow. Von, well, depending on if Von Miller gets a couple of sacks, well, Von Miller finally backed it up. And now this team goes into this 10-day break before they take on Washington as a team that has new life to the season. Now they have a couple of winnable games because then you have Washington. Then you take on the Cowboys, which is a loss. But then you look, you say, hey, wait, there's Philly right before our bye week. So you have a couple of winnable games. Now you can look out and say, wait a minute, we could be a really bad 7-4 football team at the bye week.
You know what, though? The Steelers game was a winnable game.
Yeah.
With a terrible Steelers offensive line.
And it's still terrible.
Right? Mm-hmm. And Ben Roethlisberger, his career falling off a table mm-hmm. like a bowling ball.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders, all the turmoil that they had.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio totally outcoached
mm-hmm.
in that game.
Mm-hmm.
What is the narrative if the Broncos lose?
Pat Shurmur. Why is he still in the Broncos headquarters? Why does he still have a place as the offensive coordinator, number one?
Actually, I'm going to flip that around. Pat Shurmur is number two.
Oh, really? You say Vic Fangio done, huh?
Well, what's the point of having Vic Fangio as a head coach if his defense isn't good?
Mm.
Why do you have him as a head coach? Because as a head coach, I mean, he was like a poker player on tilt playing Texas Hold'em against the Raiders, just, you know, throwing up the red flag as much as he could.
Right.
Where
right.
everybody watching at home is going, Vic, don't do it.
Right.
Vic, don't do it. He was on tilt, just hoping maybe the replay would show something different that everybody else was seeing.
Yeah. So you would say if they lose, possibly he could be gone, and then you could look at...
No,
say,
he won't be gone. We'll talk more about that later
in
the show.
At some point, it just has to get to... We could talk about hot seat and all these other different things. If the Broncos lose this game, do you believe that the season is salvageable at all? If they lose this game, Eric, do you believe that there is any shot that this team can get to the postseason? Any shot?
The way they're playing right now, they look like they can beat the bottom feeder teams.
Okay.
That's what they look like they can do.
100%.
So they have Washington on the schedule. Mm-hmm. They have Philly on the schedule. They have Detroit on the schedule.
So that's 6 wins. So you're looking at a 6-11 team.
I mean, who else is on the schedule where it's a winnable game?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, at the beginning of
anybody
the season...
Anybody in conference?
Well,
no.
No, nobody in
conference. I mean, anybody in the division.
No, because this is the same team that went 1-5 in the division last year. And the only win that you had was a comeback victory against the Chargers.
Right.
This team's not good in the AFC West, by the way.
You think Bridgewater should be starting?
Yes. 100%.
Really?
I do. Well, I mean, what do you have with Drew Lock? You want to see the ball go over people's heads? You want to see inaccurate passing?
I'll say this. If Teddy Bridgewater gets hurt, Vic Fangio should not fly back with the team.
100% agree again.
And
I don't disagree.
Wait a minute. But why are you agreeing, even though you think Bridgewater should start?
I think he should start because at the end of the day, as a guy who's trying to save his job.
No, that's not how you should coach.
No. It's not how you should coach. But that's the way that people do coach in the NFL, especially when you're desperate.
That's wrong. You don't put somebody's career and their health in jeopardy because you're trying to save your job. And oh, by the way, wasn't it Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur,
mm-hmm.
who said over and over again, man, this is a 50-50 competition. These guys are equal. They are totally equal. And we're going to give them reps 50-50 mm-hmm. in training camp. Well, those words sounded nice, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So if they're really that close and Bridgewater is basically walking on one leg, at least from what we saw a couple days ago. Apparently, you know, he's got the magic elixir where he's now walking fine. I'm sure Tordal has something to do with that.
100%.
But that's not the point. If they were so close in training camp, then why in the world would you put Teddy's health at risk when you have 10 more games after this one?
Mm-hmm. Because you look at this game as an extremely winnable game because Cleveland has a lot of guys that are out, and you look and say, okay, this guy gives us the best chance to win. Again, is it right? Is it right that Teddy Bridgewater comes back after a concussion and now he's coming back and playing last week? Is that right? Probably not. He probably should have set out that game because it showed early on he was not sharp.
You know what? I am very much in the minority. Maybe I'm on my own island. Maybe I'm one of the few people that really cares about a player's health more than a win. I do. I really do. I care more about a player's health. I do not want to see Teddy Bridgewater get trucked by Clowney if he plays in the game, or Myles Garrett, who is going to be playing in this game. And the Broncos' offensive line is leaky as is.
The Broncos' offensive line, it's so upsetting to watch them. They can't stop a simple twist. You have the defensive end on the outside. He starts to rush up, and then he curls on the inside, goes right up the middle. All you have to do is have communication, and you block that. I mean, it was so crazy just to watch the game last week. Derek Carr stands back there, and he's comfortable. He has time to shave. He has time to talk to his family, then throw the football. On the opposite side, Teddy Bridgewater, it's nothing but chaos. Every time he dropped back to pass, it was chaos.
So wait a minute. If the offensive line is leaky, and Myles Garrett has 8 sacks, and Jadeveon Clowney could play, you really want to see Teddy Bridgewater with limited mobility out there?
Vic Fangio does.
Do I personally? You said you did. You said you. Now you can backtrack if you want to.
No. I'm not backtracking because I would say this. As a Teddy Bridgewater, 80%, 75%, I would take him way over Drew Lock right now, 100%.
Coming up after the break, ProFootballTalk.com came out with its power rankings. Where are the Broncos? Well, you're not going to like what they say, literally, about the Broncos heading into tonight's game. That's next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Very appropriate opening lyric to the way the Broncos have gone over the last 3 games. There must be some kind of way out of here. You can always count on Jimmy to bring it when it comes to death and despair.
Amen, right? Somebody. Yep, 100%. Right.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Justin Adams TV, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Justin from CBS4, filling in for Mace, who is in Cleveland. Mace will join us at 5:15. In the meantime, I want to tell you about my friend Dan McKenzie at McKenzie Law. I procrastinated for a long time about getting a living will done and an estate plan done. And listen, I'm 53 now, and you never know what can happen. I mean, it doesn't matter what age you're at. You never know what can happen. You want to make your own choices. You don't want to have the courts making the decision for you. So I went to Dan McKenzie, McKenzie Law. He was patient. He answered all my questions. He pointed me in the right direction. I could not be any happier with the decision I made going with Dan McKenzie at McKenzie Law. So if you need a living will, an estate plan, a will, go with Dan McKenzie at McKenzie Law. Go to themckenziefirm.com. That's themckenziefirm.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
ProFootballTalk.com has the Broncos ranked number 25 out of 32 teams in their latest power ranking, writing this: if the season ended today, the Broncos would be the number 7 seed in the AFC. When the season actually ends, they will not be. With that, there are 6 teams with under 500 records ahead of the Broncos right now. Okay, let's start with this. Patriots. Are the Broncos better than the Patriots, who are ranked 18th?
No.
Are they better than the Seahawks?
No.
49ers?
No.
The Bears are 3-3. They might be better than the Bears. How about the Eagles?
They're better. They're better than the Eagles, yeah. Yeah.
Falcons?
Yes, they're better than the Falcons.
Colts?
At this moment, they are better than the Colts. At this moment.
Here's the funny thing. When you look at the teams behind the Broncos, all teams they're going to play or they have played. Washington is number 26.
It's crazy.
Then you have the Jaguars at 27, the Jets at 28, the Giants at 29. Now, if the Broncos season could be filled with teams 26 through 32, they might have a chance to make the playoffs.
Oh, 100%.
Because they've beaten three of those teams, right?
Yeah. They play the Lions later on this year.
Right, and the Lions, I think, are dead last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm. Dead last. I mean, 0-6. I don't know if the Lions are going to win a game, man. You hiccup and find yourself a win in the NFL ever so often, but the Lions have won or have lost all their games before, so it could happen again.
You and I talked about it during the break, and I said to you, if the Broncos lose this game to the Browns, a banged-up Browns team. By the way, I was going back and forth with somebody on Twitter yesterday, and the guy said something like, man, the Broncos are really banged up. And I'm thinking, are you out of your tree? What are you talking about? I know the Broncos are injured, but Mayfield's out, Chubb's out, Hunt's out. Their rookie linebacker out in Notre Dame is their leading tackler. He is out. They could be missing one of two offensive tackles, possibly both of them. Could be missing their starting center. A.J. Green is out for the season.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jarvis Landry, I think, will be back, and we don't know about Odell Beckham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy said to me, well, you're only talking about the injury report. Look at the Broncos with, you know, Judy and Hamler and Chubb, and then the two inside linebackers, Jewel and Alexander Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Chubb and Judy are terrific players.
100%.
So is A.J. Green.
Yes.
I don't care if he's 50.
Right.
He's still
a good player. Yeah.
And he's younger than me.
Sure.
But with that, I don't want to hear about Alexander Johnson and Josie Jewell. I know they're starters,
mm-hmm.
and Jewell is having a good year.
Mm-hmm.
You know this term as well as anyone. Jag.
Yes.
Just another guy.
They're serviceable.
Right.
Very serviceable.
They are. Listen, they're good enough to be starters on the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Jewell, I don't know if is good enough to be a starter on another team, necessarily. Alexander Johnson's kind of hit or miss. But please don't tell me your season is falling apart because you don't have Josie Jewell and Alexander Johnson.
Well, the main thing that they have to have with those two new inside linebackers coming in, and I know Justice Denard is in there and he's getting some reps, but the biggest thing is, and I saw this in the second half last week, my goodness, you have to have better eye discipline. Just have better eye discipline. You can't get washed down in the line, especially, and that's going to happen today because of the zone blocking system. You can't get washed down the line. If the ball starts to go left in the zone blocking scheme, they're going to cut back, and it's that one cutback and find a hole and get there. You have to play your gap, play your assignment, and they didn't do that last week. You can look right back at the first drive the Raiders had, and they ran the ball down the throat of the Broncos, and that's exactly what they did. I mean, even a touchdown. It was a hole that was so wide open. I thought we were looking at like the Red Sea just part open. I mean, it was wide, wide open. And so this week, you just have to go and play your keys. Play your gap and not get ran over by the Browns, who will run the football, and it doesn't matter who's back there in the backfield.
All right, so we know that, whatchamacallit, we know that Chubb and Hunt are not
playing. Yeah, Kareem Hunt, yeah.
You brought up zone blocking.
Mm-hmm.
To Ernest Johnson.
Yeah.
Now the starting running
yep,
back.
Yep, yep, yep.
Over under for him is 56 yards.
Oh, that's over. Oh, he's getting that over.
I think he's getting the over, too.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at my app on FanDuel Sportsbook.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, do I bet the over on that?
I would. Well, this is the main reason why I would. The Broncos played against Pittsburgh. Remember that game a couple weeks ago? You know, yep. Broncos, that was supposed to be a get-right game for the Broncos, by the way, right?
Right.
And Steelers had the worst rushing offense in the NFL.
And Najee Harris had the best game of his career.
So why can't Dearness Johnson? What is his name?
In his zone blocking scheme.
Exactly.
How many yards do you think he gets?
75, 80.
Ooh, because if you bet that on FanDuel Sportsbook, you're getting plus 280 on 80 yards or more.
Ooh. May have to go bet that. Because you
right
know,
here.
Here's my problem. This is my biggest issue. At some point, it's a pride deal. Like it's you could talk about all the X's and O's. You still have Mike Purcell there. You still have Shelby Harris there, right? I understand you don't have your two inside linebackers, but Von Miller's still on the outside, right? And I get it, Malik Reed, he's not Bradley Chubb, but he still led your team at sacks last year.
Right.
He's still around. You should still have guys who are good enough so that you don't get ran over. And even though you only have walkthroughs this week, you should know about the zone blocking scheme. It's all about playing your gaps and staying home. Can you play your gap? Can you stay at home? Can Mike Purcell take up two or three guys up on the line?
If the Broncos beat the Browns,
mm-hmm.
they have 10 days to recover and get ready for the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
I almost slipped and said their nickname again. With that, if they beat the Browns, do they beat the Washington football team?
They'll have Jerry Jeudy back, and they would. They'll have Jerry Jeudy back, and they would, 100%.
If they lose to the Browns, do they beat the Washington football
team? Oh, man, this thing is going down a hill. This is an avalanche. This thing will just continue on. It will be an avalanche. They're going to lose there. They're losing at home to Washington. Then you lose it to Dallas. That'll be a huge, huge blowout. And then you come back against the Eagles, and to be very honest with you, that will be the game where everybody's job, especially if they lose this game, everybody's job should be on the line because you have a bye week after that.
Right. All right, coming up after the break, the Nuggets tipped off the season last night, and no, it doesn't make up for getting swept in the playoffs last year, but boy, the Nuggets made a statement yesterday. We'll talk about that next.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman, at Justin Adams TV. Justin is joining me in studio. He's from CBS4, and Mace will be joining us at 5:15 to talk about the inactives for the game. He just tweeted out, and this is breaking news, they are serving General Tso's chicken, Asian slaw, salad, and fried rice. I'm sure everybody would like to know that, and this was Andrew's take on that. The chicken was more salty than spicy, which was a setback. I love it when people complain about free food. You know who's the king of that? Les.
Yes.
Les Shapiro would always find a way to complain about free food.
Right. Dude, why would you complain about free? Either you eat it or don't eat it.
Yeah.
Me personally?
Yeah.
Especially how I was in college?
Yeah.
There is no complaining in this body.
He went on to write, the cherry tomatoes in the salad were fresh. The carrot cake wasn't bad, but initial bites were dry. He's giving it a 5 out of 10.
Wow.
It's free. You know, bring a sack lunch if you have to.
Exactly.
Come on.
Bring a power bar. Bring something else.
Seriously?
Yeah, you know what you could give me? Peanut butter and jelly. That would be a 10 out of 10, okay?
I'd be fine
you
with that.
You could just give me a slice of bread and I'll be okay with that.
There you go. White bread, wheat bread, what kind of bread?
Oh, wheat. It has to be wheat. White bread, you go a 9 to 10. But wheat, we do 10 to 10.
Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Colorado Off-Road in Littleton. If you need major accessory brands or something off-market for your truck, car, Jeep, or SUV, they've got it. Upfit today at Colorado Off-Road or go to cooffroad.com.
Okay, I know it's only one game. Are you encouraged by watching what the Nuggets did last night?
Yes.
Beating the team that swept them out of the playoffs.
Yes, and the reason why is because they were down by double digits, I think at 1.16 points in the second quarter. And then came back in the third quarter and was able to just take a hold of that game and dominate in the fourth quarter. I was very, very impressed because that didn't happen last year. And I'm not just talking about the playoffs. I'm talking about period. Last year, even with everybody healthy, that wouldn't have happened.
Well, Mike Malone gets criticized probably more often than a coach who has a pretty good team over the last couple of years should be criticized.
Right.
One guy's opinion. They were struggling with their second team. And then Malone realized, you know what? I just can't have my full second team out there. I better sprinkle in Will Barton. I better sprinkle in MPJ.
Mm-hmm.
And that clearly worked.
Can we also say something else that he can't have on the court? Please stop having Facu Campazzo and Austin Rivers on the court at the same time. You cannot do that. He cannot do that. Austin Rivers only had 8 minutes, and it was for a reason. You cannot have both of those guys on the court at the same time. It just doesn't work out. Maybe against a team like Minnesota, you could do that, but not against a team like Phoenix.
So who do you replace Rivers with?
Well, I'm not saying...
I have an answer.
Bones?
Yeah. Well, listen. Mike Malone said that Bones has earned playing time.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be with the second team. This is just pure speculation on my part. It would not surprise me if Malone, trying to play the politically correct game, and he's not a politically correct guy, and that's a compliment to him.
Mm-hmm.
It would not surprise me if he said to Bones Highland before the game, you're going to sit this game. It's your first game as a pro. There are veterans on this team. I need to get some of these veterans in to make them feel like you haven't replaced them already. You know how I feel about you, but you're going to be sitting watching your first game. And you brought up Austin Rivers, and I think Bones is going to be the guy who's going to get some looks with Campazzo.
Okay. Well, you know, another guy that he talked to after the game was Zeke Nagy, too. See, we didn't talk about Zeke Nagy, and I could say Zeke should be in over Jermichael Green because he gave the Nuggets nothing last night. So at some point, you got to make some moves with this team. You got to go get Bones in the game, and you have to go get Zeke Nagy in the game because those are the two guys with young legs that are going to help you out.
What makes you think that Nagy is so terrific?
I mean, are you impressed by Jermichael Green?
He's a proven veteran, and he was good enough last year. Wasn't great, but he was good enough. And Nagy might get some more playing time. Mm-hmm. We will see. What I do know is that Nagy has not impressed. Bones Highland has impressed.
He has impressed preseason, but he has impressed.
And I understand it is preseason.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that I've seen from Zeke Nagy that says to me, man, we got to get this guy on the floor and give him a look.
At some point, you have to figure it out, though.
I agree.
Especially year number two, you have to find out what you have. And for me, and again, I'm very careful on putting upside over a proven veteran, right? But some point in this season, and I would like to see it early on against a team that you're supposed to beat, say Cleveland coming up in a couple of games, that you put Zeke Nagy in. How does he respond in the game? That you put Bones Highlands in. How does he respond in the game? Like, I want to see those two guys play a little bit more.
Okay. I said to Mace on the show yesterday, if Michael Porter Jr. is scoring 15 points a game or is having 15-point games, mm-hmm. that's not good enough for a guy who just got a max contract.
Correct.
With that, he had a pretty good all-around game.
He did.
I'll be the first to admit that.
Yeah, he did.
He had a very good all-around game. He had a career high in assists. Mm-hmm. Defensively, he was fine. I'd like to see him move without the ball a little bit more. Even though he did a good job of that, I want to see more of that. Some of his passes, he wouldn't have passed those passes up last year.
Mm-hmm.
He would have shot the ball himself. He had a nice dish into the lane for Jokic, which Jokic had an easy layup, right?
Right.
So good for him. Aaron Gordon has taken his game to another level.
Yes, he has.
He is not a big numbers guy, but he is a hustle guy. He's a guy who's going to dive on the floor, and he's going to get you those, for lack of a better phrase, hustle stats.
Here's the biggest thing about Aaron Gordon last night. 3 of 15. And that's not what Gordon had or what he shot last night. That's what Devin Booker shot last night. 3 of 15. You're telling me that he doesn't affect guys out there? Like, he's extremely important for this team, especially in the West where you have to go against Luka Doncic, right? LeBron James and the rest of the guys out there in the West. He is so, so important for this
team. You're
going
to put Aaron Gordon on Doncic?
Yes.
You are?
Yep.
Okay.
100%.
On a point guard?
Yes.
All right.
I mean, who else are you going to put on him? Who else? Jokic? Faku?
Well, I don't think we're going to put Jokic on.
Well, I mean, obviously, but I'm just saying, that's one of the main reasons why he was here. Like, you're not going to stop a guy like Luka from scoring 20-plus, but you can make it difficult for him to score. And that's the same thing with a guy like Devin Booker. When he's hot, he's hot. So when I saw 3 of 15, and he only had 12 points last night, I was like, okay, that's the way that it should be.
All I'm saying is I don't know if I want Gordon on a point guard.
On their best player? On their best scorer?
I think off the dribble, I think that Gordon would have some problems.
Okay.
Usually point guards have some quickness to them.
Right, right.
Devin Booker.
You don't think he's quick enough?
I would not categorize him as quick.
Okay.
I'd categorize him as tough.
Okay.
I'd categorize him as a really good defensive player.
Okay.
But I don't want him on Steph Curry, do you?
No.
Okay.
But I do want him on Steph Curry in crunch time. Right?
Oh, God, Steph Curry would eat his lunch.
I mean, Steph Curry would eat anybody's lunch, though.
I understand.
But
I don't want him on a smaller... Okay, let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you put him on Chris Paul? Chris Paul's the guy who drives that offense.
Right.
Why don't you put him on Chris Paul?
He had an off game too last night.
Why'd you put him on Chris Paul during the playoffs?
But, yeah, you know, he was the primary ball handler.
I don't want him on a primary ball handler.
Well, but
he's not.
I could agree with that. But the thing is that whoever is the primary scorer,
fine,
that's who Aaron Gordon is.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And Luka Doncic is the primary scorer, but he is also the point guard.
So you're saying the Nuggets have an issue already?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that they have an issue. What I'm saying is I don't know if I want Aaron Gordon on Luka Doncic.
Okay.
I mean, you rotate.
Right.
I mean, Monte Morris is too small, but he's tenacious, mm-hmm. right?
Faku is tenacious, but he's extremely small.
No.
But he's tenacious and he flops. Let's call it what it is. He flops a lot.
Yeah. All right, what do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Well, the Colorado Avalanche are on the East Coast, so they're having puck drop in Florida just after 5 p.m., and we'll talk about who's going to be in net for that game. Also, potential series-clinching games in both series of the baseball playoffs in the next 2 days. We'll get into that on the other side right here on Afternoon Drive with Adams and Goodman.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman, Mason, watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Justin Adams TV. At Eric Goodman. You could do at Mace Denver as well. Mace is going to be joining us live from Cleveland at 5:15. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfield's has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it.
Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, the Colorado Avalanche heading into their fourth game of the season at the Florida Panthers just in a couple minutes here at 5 o'clock p.m. It will be Jonas Johansson in net for the Avalanche. Last update I saw, what do the Avalanche need to do to bounce back from two straight losses against an undefeated opponent?
Stop giving up so many goals, number one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the main thing. This defense has to step up. And also, you are outshot. I think the Capitals had double the shots the Avs had the last game. So the offense needs to step up, too. It's early in the season, but games like this are must-wins for the Avs. You got to win games like this.
I mean, after the opener, everyone's like, hey, welcome Darcy Kuemper, right? Mm-hmm. Well, 5 goals, 6 goals.
I mean,
you can't have that happen.
Part of that's your defense, too.
Now, listen, you need Landeskog back on the ice. Mm-hmm. I think one thing we have learned is this. McKinnon's the best player on the team. But Joe Sakic made the right move, giving money to Landeskog. Yeah. He really did. Landeskog's a big part of this team.
That top line will be back together tonight with Landeskog, McKinnon, and Rantanen. Just in case you missed it, potential series-clinching game tonight in the NLCS for the Braves as they lead the Dodgers 3-1. That game 5 will be at 6:08 p.m., so it'll be tough for Mace to watch it as he'll be at Cleveland Browns Stadium watching the Broncos. But I'm sure he'll find a way. You're right, Justin. The Astros also lead the Red Sox 3-2, so they're just one win away from the World Series as well. Who has more momentum right now, the Houston Astros or the Atlanta Braves?
I'm going to say the Houston Astros. And the reason why is because last year, the Braves were up 3-1 on the Dodgers as well, and the Dodgers came back to win that series. So I say the Astros, they have more momentum, and they will try to close it out in 6, but I think it'll be done in 7.
I think Braves fans are nervous with a
3-1
lead.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes.
Really nervous with a 3-1 lead. But Justin Turner's out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big loss for them. We'll see.
Just in case you missed it, in the NBA, Dallas at Atlanta tonight, 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Trae Young taking on Luka Doncic. Trae Young took his team to the Eastern Conference Finals this summer in the NBA playoffs. But you guys were talking about how special Luka is with who's going to guard him for the Nuggets. Who has more pressure on them to do well this season and lead their team to success, Trae Young or Luka Doncic?
There's only one guy who's being touted as the MVP, the preseason MVP, and that's Luka. So right. There's more pressure on his shoulders. And oh, by the way, he's never been out of the first round.
Right.
So we're talking about a guy who is expected to be one of the greatest players. From what I understand, from what all the pundits are telling me, he will be one of the greatest players.
Oh, stop that.
Who hasn't been out of the first round. I'm just saying.
Okay. How many years has he been in the league?
Three. This is third, fourth year?
How many times did Jordan get out of the first round when he first started?
It took him a while, didn't he? Six years?
Sure did.
6 years,
he needed some help. He needed Scottie Pippen. He needed Bill Cartwright. He needed Horace Grant. Porzingis is a nice player.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good player. He just needs some more help around him.
For sure.
So I'm not going to fault the guy for being in the league a short amount of time. We can see his talent. But he needs some more help around him. Porzingis is not a superstar in this league, right?
He's not at all. Okay. He's paid like one.
Outside of the Milwaukee Bucks, because they are the outlier, show me a team that really has a chance to contend for a title that doesn't have two superstars on their team.
No, none. No. Absolutely none.
Unless you like Middleton that much and say, okay, well, it's Middleton and Giannis.
You're sleeping on Jrue Holiday. He made some defensive plays in the finals.
Jrue Holiday's a fantastic defensive player.
Exactly.
Yeah. But he's not a superstar.
Right. I'm with you.
Okay.
You need
two bona fide all-stars, generally speaking, outside of the Pistons in the late 80s, outside of the Pistons with Chauncey Billups, to win a title. And Doncic doesn't have that Robin to his Batman.
So you better go get him. Better go find him.
Yep.
That's the main thing.
I agree.
Just in case you missed it, on Sunday, the Chicago Sky won the WNBA championship on the back of Candace Parker. And now the news has come out that the Premier Hockey Federation, formerly known as the National Women's Hockey League, will have its games aired on ESPN Plus in 2021-2022. ESPN also broadcasting NHL games, so they're putting a lot of eggs in that hockey basket. What women's sport or league is poised for the most growth over the next few years?
Volleyball. It is not talked about enough. Volleyball is the one sport that's poised for more viewers. And once people understand the sport of volleyball, it will just take off. It's a great, great sport.
I'm not suggesting it's not a great sport, but why are you putting volleyball so high?
Because it's one of the highest growing sports among women. I'm talking to coaches. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
D1, D2 coaches, and they say its growth is continuing over and more.
I think that's great. What sport has the most kids' participation in the United States?
Soccer.
And soccer's huge in the United States, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Huge. No, it's not.
It should be, but it's not. It's not.
It's
You're right.
It's not.
You're right.
So it doesn't matter how many girls play volleyball. It doesn't matter how many boys play soccer. At the end of the day, soccer is a European sport.
Mm-hmm.
And volleyball, you can make the case, is a European sport.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sport here. So for as good as the girls are here, I don't see it, you know. I see it on ESPN 8, the Ocho. I don't know if I see it on ESPN 2 or ESPN Plus.
I mean, I watch the Ocho, so maybe it's just me. I love the Ocho.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just me.
All right. All right, that was Mount High Appliance, just in case you missed it. Their sales staff. And it's so important to have a great sales staff when you are making a purchase of that kind, because you want to work with people that know what you want, understand what you want, and know the right questions to ask. That's what you're getting at Mountain High Appliance. Not to mention, you can try before you buy, meaning you can walk in any store and try out the appliances before you buy them. Go to Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, we know the Browns are really banged up. Really banged up. Probably could be missing half their starters on offense. So why are people locally and nationally picking the Browns? That's next.